Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, the stories of King Asa, who was a good king. He started well. He removed idols all around the nation. He rebuilt the broken down temple and repaired it. He called Israel into worship and revival spread. He even deposed his own grandmother for her wickedness. He enjoyed peace from all his enemies. He was fully committed to the Lord. But in the next chapter, chapter 16, we find that everything changed. He formed an alliance with a wicked nation, trusting in them for protection. He put a prophet of God into prison. He oppressed his own people. And the last words said about him are these. In the 39th year of the reign of Asa, was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. There's a college basketball player who played at Princeton University that I want to talk to you about. He was 16 years old when he got saved, and he joined the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He was involved in that organization while playing basketball at Princeton. In 1966, he went to the NBA, and he was very upfront and vocal about his faith publicly. He said, "I love Jesus Christ, and I always try to serve him." In 1979, upon retiring from the NBA, he became a United States Senator from the state of New Jersey. I'm talking about Bill Bradley. Not long after that, he said, "I'm put off by the exclusive claims of Christ. I say, embrace all religions." And Chuck Colson said this, "Bill Bradley's leaving the faith is a cautionary tale." Both Asa and Bill Bradley didn't finish well, or so it seems as far as we can tell. Neither did Saul or Judas either. The Bible is full of examples of men who didn't start well, but finished well. The Apostle Paul, I think, being the best example of that. So the goal for the Christian is to finish well. A lot of Christians start well. They're on fire for the Lord. They love Jesus. They're very vocal about their faith. But somewhere along the line, they start to go off course. They waver in their faith. Some abandon the Lord. King Solomon had it all, but became spiritually bankrupt. There are famous apostates throughout Christian history. One of those is the Roman Emperor Julian, whose name was actually Julian the Apostate. Joseph Stalin memorized a lot of the New Testament. We know where he ended up. Rob Bell, most recently, Josh Harris, and Marty Sampson. Some of you may know those names. I hope these men return back to the faith. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 reminds us that we'll stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives, and our lives will be tested by fire. Will the result of that fire produce gold and silver and precious stones, or will our works be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble? And thus we lose our reward. I want you and me to finish well. There was an Olympic marathon runner. Somewhere along the race, tripped and fell. And he wasn't injured badly, but slightly injured. He got up and he was limping, but he continued running. He continued to get farther and farther behind the race. In fact, you know, the marathon race, it ends in the stadium. But by the time he entered the stadium, the crowds had nearly emptied. He was asked, "Why? Why did you continue running when you were so far behind?" And he said, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start the race. but to finish it. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There are a lot of obstacles in this life and in this world that trip us up. We need to be aware of those and avoid them, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we finish well. Maybe you're here today and you're wondering, man, am I going to make it? Or perhaps you have the opposite attitude, like Peter, who said, "Even if everybody else denies you, I never will." Yeah, talk about famous last words. Our text today, as we continue through John's Gospel, is John 6, verses 60 through 71. It says, "When many of his disciples heard it," this teaching that he had just finished, "they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, 'Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father.' And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?' He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." I think there are Christians that try many different ways of finishing well. They try willpower. They determine in themselves, "I will stay strong. I will be true to Jesus." Others say, "I should be true." And they use laws and rules and then feel guilty when they fall short. Others blame others for their fault. They're a victim. Adam and Eve are examples of that. Or maybe we shall overcome. We'll use education and science and technology to solve all our problems. But what's the truth? You and I are only going to make it by Jesus' "I am." By his righteousness, not our own. And the faster we realize that, the better. I want you to make it. Maybe you feel today, this morning, "I'm barely hanging in there." Maybe you're questioning your faith. You're not reading your Bible. You're rarely in church. Well, you're here this morning, and I'm glad you're here. There are no accidents with God. He brought you here today. Let us learn from those who don't last and from those who do last. First of all, let's learn from those who don't last. Our text began in John 6:60. And before that, Jesus had fed the 5,000. Remember that? And then the crowds followed him in boats and around the top of the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the lake, to Capernaum, in which he taught in the synagogue. There he told them, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they said, "That's weird. That's a hard teaching. And it is hard to understand. It must be spiritually discerned. It takes spiritual insight." In 663, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." It's always possible to understand Jesus. I think it's very dangerous to say, "I can't accept that. I won't accept that." If it's in the Bible, God wants you to believe it. If you don't, maybe you need to grow up. It may indicate that something's wrong in your heart. It's a hard word, yeah. You may not understand it perfectly, but you can accept it. Jesus' teachings for us get hard when we think he will settle for less than he demands. Let's negotiate this, Jesus. This is kind of a hard word. Why don't you give a little and I'll give a little? You know, Jesus and I, we have this understanding about the sin in my life. Look, you're trying to barter with God and his word. He is not going to meet you in the middle. You're not equals. You're not business partners. He doesn't compromise the truth. The word of God is truth, and it's always for our good. That's why he doesn't budge. Jesus' teachings are tough for those who think he should demand more. There were people then who thought that. They were called the Pharisees, the rule followers. They followed their rules, the ones they were good at. Jesus gives freedom. The Bible says the truth will set you free. We see in verse 61, his disciples were grumbling about this. And we wonder, his disciples, is that the 12? No, there were other people who were following Jesus. The word disciple is a Greek word that means learner. So there were people that were following Jesus in addition to the 12 who were checking him out and listening to what he had to say. But as he taught, they murmured, they grumbled, they didn't like it, they didn't approve of it, and they left. I hope that's not you. If the going gets tough for you in this Christian life, are you going to bail out on the Lord? It will get tough. So you need to settle this in your mind now. I'm not going to abandon the Lord and walk away from him. Look, there's a difference between grappling with truth and grumbling about truth. There's a difference between asking questions and questioning everything. What does this mean, Lord? That's a good question. It's okay to ask questions of God. Any honest seeker, God will answer those questions. But these guys weren't honestly seeking. They were evaluating. Did it meet my approval? And apparently it didn't. That they were taking it to the complaint department. I think a classic case of that is the Jewish people of the Exodus. They saw the 10 plagues in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, which parted, and they walked across it on dry land. They experienced all the miracles in the desert. They were hungry out there. There was no food in a desert. They cried out to God. He provided manna. But then they were sick of manna. And they said, we want meat. So God provided quail. They were sick of quail. They said, we're thirsty out here. God provided water from a rock. Then they said, you know what? We had it better in Egypt. We want to go back there. You know what God did? He let that generation all die out in the desert. He hates grumbling about himself. So when Jesus asked him in 661, do you take offense at this? You know that word offense? It's an interesting word. It means stick on a trap. You can imagine, picture this in your mind's eye, kind of an old, simple trap with the food there on a plate and a stick holding up a trap, and the animal comes in smelling the food to try to get it. It bumps the stick and the trap falls down on it and it's trapped. Jesus' words are that trap. You bump up against them and the trap falls on you and you feel trapped. For some people, the cross is that trap. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For other people, the stick is the exclusive claims of Christ, that he claimed to be God, that he claimed to be the only way to God. People don't like that exclusivity about Christianity. Maybe for someone else, it's the demands of the gospel. Jesus told the rich young ruler, sell all you have and follow me. Well, sell all you have was the stick that he bumped up against. So he left Jesus. Jesus told a Samaritan woman, go call your husband. And she did. She stayed. She lasted. Jesus' commands can be tough. He'll put his finger right on your flesh. But he always wants what's best for you in the long run. You're going to have to face your fears, your sins, your issues. but they refused to believe. The cannibal vampire speech was just too much. Of course it must be spiritually understood, but they didn't stick around to understand it. Jesus said, "My words are spirit." If you try to understand it physically, you're going to miss it. In John chapter 2, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Right? They were thinking building the temple in Jerusalem when he was talking about his body. In John 3, in a conversation with Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus thought he meant, "How am I going to climb back inside my mother's womb?" He was talking about spiritual rebirth. In John chapter 6, he tells the crowd, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they're thinking cannibalism. When he was talking about union with him, intimacy of relationship. Jesus' words are life. True life, abundant life. So what's life for you? Is it a big screen TV? Is it a free trip to Europe? Is it physical or is it spiritual? Is that life? And so the people left. John says here, Jesus knew that was going to happen. And he knew who was going to betray him. Why would he go through all that? All that rejection. Because he loved them. And he loves us. And he gave them the truth. And the truth sets you free. People are fickle. The church of 5,000 fed men just became the church of 12 again. So why did that happen? A couple reasons. Letter A. They weren't able to move beyond curiosity to commitment. They weren't able to move beyond curiosity to commitment. They loved the miracles. It was a great show. But they never committed to Jesus. And we can be the same way. People have trouble committing to God, to marriage, to a church, for instance. And that's why we have a church membership. I think it's good for your soul to commit to an imperfect body of believers. People are always looking for the perfect church. Well, when they find it, they'll realize that once they're attending, it won't be perfect anymore. Here's letter B. They never looked past the temporary to the eternal. They never looked past the temporary to the eternal. They wanted bread. They wanted their belly full. That was their focus, the temporary, the now. When Jesus offered himself as the bread of life, they wanted a good time. They wanted to be popular. They wanted blessing. And C, letter C, the needs that drew them to Jesus eventually turned them from him. The needs that drew them to Jesus eventually turned them from him because they wanted their needs met. But they wanted to keep their lives as they were. They wanted to be in control. They wanted to hold on to the reins of their life. They said, "You feed me, I'll lead me. I did it my way." And they wound up rejecting Jesus. They turned away and walked away. And people do that today. They don't last. Now let's look at some examples of people who do last. Let's learn from them. In 667, Jesus asked the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Maybe he's asking you that today. And if you've never wrestled with that question, good. You've never struggled with your faith. You've always been sold out to Jesus 100%. But maybe you are struggling today. Maybe because of unanswered prayer. Maybe there's a health crisis in your life and you pray and it just doesn't get better and you're struggling with that, or you lost a job and financially you don't know how you're going to make it. Or maybe you went through a divorce that you didn't want to go through, or the death of a loved one and you prayed that they'd make it and they died and you say, "I'm out of here. If I have to suffer for my faith as a Christian, then forget it." So I ask, then why are you really following Jesus? Maybe it's a sin in your life that you thought you had under control, but it raises its ugly head again. And you get discouraged and say, "I'll never be free of this. I'm just going to quit." Yeah, that same habit that pops up all the time. Those little sins that can lead us away from Jesus because they open a door to the evil one to come in. Yeah, you're going to struggle at times in the Christian life. You have to realize, I've got to persevere for the long haul. Don't give up. So Peter speaks up. And that's not surprising. Peter always speaks up. He's outspoken. And he lasted, by the way. He lasted through the confusion of Jesus' arrest and his own denials of the faith in Jesus. He lasted through being rebuked by Peter or by Paul at Galatia. Peter had his ups and downs, but he lasted until his last breath when Nero, the Roman emperor, crucified him upside down. So he answers Jesus' question here beautifully. He clearly expresses his faith in Jesus in verses 68 and 69. I think he said three things here about lasting. The first is, letter A, where else? In another translation, it says, where else can we go? Believe me, Jesus, we thought about it. You're not easy to follow. You toss people out of the temple. You say hard things to understand. You talk to Samaritan women. You touch lepers. You embarrass us. But where else can we go? If you're going to last, I say to you, you should look at the alternatives to Jesus honestly and say, are they better than Jesus? Is the world and what it offers better than Jesus? Is fame and fortune better than him? Where else can you go? Honestly, look at the alternatives. Is it better? B, what else? What else? You have the words of eternal life. Notice he didn't say you have miracles. He said words. The same words you and I have in the Bible. Jesus' words are powerful. They are spirit and they are life, and they lead to eternal life. If you are going to last, you have to listen to the words of Jesus because they are our spiritual food. John 6:57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Am I feeding on Jesus? Am I abiding in him? Do I have this intimate personal relationship where I'm participating in his life? Am I finding him through the Word of God? If you are, you'll last. If you aren't, you won't. It's clear cut. You'll be easily deceived by the world. The Bible, the Word of God, is truth. Are you listening to him through it? And see, who else? Who else? You are the Holy One of God. In other words, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. We know who you really are. You're not just a man. You're God. Who compares to Jesus? Does Muhammad? Or Buddha? Or Confucius? These are mere men. They're still in their graves. If you are going to last, then you need to confess your trust in Jesus openly. And I think openly is the key idea there. In about 18 months from this point, Peter is in danger of not making it. Jesus was arrested. He was being interrogated by the high priest and the religious establishment. And people in the crowd were pointing their finger at Peter and saying, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And he denied it. He denied knowing who Jesus was. In Jesus' loneliest moment, he almost fell away. But Jesus restored him. And 53 days later, Peter stood in front of a hostile crowd on the day of Pentecost and boldly preached Christ. Look, if you're hiding the fact that you're a Christian, you may not make it. Are you hiding the fact that you're a Christian at school or at work? Openly confess Jesus. You don't have to be pushy or obnoxious. Just find some way to let people know that you love Jesus. If you follow sports at all, we've seen the college football players and basketball players finding a platform, using it to share their faith openly. That's a beautiful thing. I bet those guys will last, and gals. Well, wouldn't this be a great ending to our story? That we could close our Bible and go home. Man, Peter made a great statement there. He told us how to last and how he was going to last. But the Bible tells us the truth. And the sad truth is, not everybody will last. The crowd of 5,000, they didn't. They walked away from Jesus. And even one of Jesus' own disciples, one of the 12, Judas, he didn't last. Jesus calls him a devil, not the devil, a devil, because he does what the devil does. Remember, Jesus said the same thing of Peter earlier in Matthew 16. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You shouldn't go to the cross and die." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of men." Judas was chosen by Jesus as one of the 12. He knew Jesus. They ate and drank together. They fellowshiped together. When they traveled, they did ministry together. When they camped out between villages that they were preaching at, they slept by each other. Judas probably did miracles. He was sent out by Jesus as one of the 72. And when they came back, they reported to Jesus all the miracles that were done through them. Listen to Matthew 7. This is one of the hardest passages, I think, in the Bible. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" It's possible to have a great ministry and not last. It's possible to betray Jesus. Judas did. And the Bible says he went out and hung himself and went to hell. Reject Jesus and you turn into a devil. But this doesn't have to be your outcome. I don't believe it will. Your outcome in life can be like Paul's. It says this in 2 Timothy 4:7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Your outcome can be that of Joshua's. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Paul and Joshua broke the tape. They crossed the finish line well. I think of the martyrs of the book of Revelation who are beside Jesus and walk with him. And everywhere he goes, they go. They finish well. I want you to finish well. I want to finish well. Let me pray for you that we do. Oh Lord, there are cautionary tales, especially in the Bible, but even in church history, of those who started well but didn't finish well. Lord, we don't want to be numbered with them. We want to be those who finish well. And we're confident, Lord, that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We don't have confidence in our own flesh by our willpower, but Lord, we have confidence in you, the Spirit within us. We want to cross that finish line, Father. We want to break that tape at the end. And where you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." Oh God, help each and every one of us to persevere in our faith and to not quit when the going gets tough. But to remember, you said, in this life, you will go through tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our faith is in you, Jesus. carry us through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.